I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Today's Torah chapter is very instructive. It is about the life of trust. But before we get into the lessons of this chapter from Torah, I want to talk about Sarah, after whom the chapter of the reading is named. We read in the Bible that Abraham gave birth to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, and so on, as if man himself was capable of childbirth. Of course not. Every man can be faithful to the woman in his life who gave him birth and was with him in the challenges of his life. In the Bible, when that man was a man of God, the woman in his life typically was also a woman of God. A wife or a mother who contributed greatly to the spiritual life of the man as well. You remember that the name Abraham means the father of many nations. The name of his wife Sarah means a woman of high rank and is often translated simply as princess. Sarah is the princess of the nations. We think of Abraham as the father of faith, but I truly believe that without the support of his wife, Sarah, it would have been very difficult or impossible for him to become Abraham. We read in the Torah that Abraham believed and expected a son from the Lord almost all his life, and in the same way, Sarah waited in faith with him. One of the most beautiful sentences in the New Testament are these words of Peter. It is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her daughters by doing what is good and not fearing intimidation. So to all the women of this congregation, I must say a huge thank you for the wonderful example you set and for the constant support that you offer to the congregation and your families. Your ministry to the Lord and to the congregation is special and very, very important. And now let us look at one essential lesson from today's Torah reading. Let's open Genesis 24 and we will read almost all chapter today. So let us open Genesis chapter 24, verse 2. Then Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who managed everything that belonged to him, now put your hand under my thigh, so that I may make you take an oath by Adonai, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am dwelling. On the contrary, to my land and to my relatives you must go and get a wife for my son Isaac. And after the servant went to find a wife for Isaac, he came to the place and prayed to God. And let us read verse 12. So here's the servant praying to the Lord. Adonai, the God of Abraham, my master, he said, please make something happen before me today and show loyalty to Abraham, my master. Look, I'm standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the man of the city are going out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please tip your jar so that I may drink, and she will say, drink, and I'll also water your camels. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. So by this I'll know that you have shown graciousness to my master. Now before he had finished speaking, behold, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, going out with her jar on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very good looking, a girl of marriageable age, and she was a virgin. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me sip a little water from your jar." So she said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly lowered her jar onto her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she finished giving him a drink, she said, "I'll also draw water for your camels until they've finished drinking." So she quickly poured out her jug onto the trough, ran back to the well and drew water for all his camels. Verse 21. While the man continued to pay close attention to her, keeping silent in order to know whether or not Adonai had made his way successful. Now after the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a nose ring of gold weighing a half shekel and two bracelets on her hands weighing 10 shekels of gold. And verse 26. Then the man bowed down and worshipped Adonai. And he said, "Blessed be Adonai, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loyalty and his truth towards my master. As for me, Adonai has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brother." And verse 57, the final verse for today. So they said, "We'll call the young woman and let's ask her opinion." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." What a story. What a fascinating story here. Some biblical scholars believe that the story of Isaac and Rebekah's marriage is a prophetic reference to the Brit HaHadashah, or New Testament. Although I do not totally believe this, it can be a very interesting parallel for us. Isaac, who has inherited the blessings and his father's faith, is a type of Yeshua the Messiah. The servant of Abraham, who was sent to a foreign land to find a bride for Isaac, is an allegory of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful picture here. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to prepare the bride and bring a bride for Yeshua. The Bible calls believers the bride of the Messiah, for whom he will soon come. Book of Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And only the Holy Spirit leads people to the Lord, to faith in Yeshua. Only the Holy Spirit. I think this is a fascinating example, and we should take the important lessons from this story. We see the same beautiful picture in the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. And the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, was hovering upon the surface of the water. The Spirit of God hovered. He took care of the creation. Without the Holy Spirit, the creation of the earth would be impossible. Just as it is impossible to give birth to God's community without Him. It is He who brings people into the congregation. The Holy Spirit. It is He who fills our hearts with the presence and the faith of God. Without the Holy Spirit, faith is senseless. I like to read one important verse from the book of Acts. I believe this verse reveals the reason for the success of the growth and blessings on the early Messianic synagogue. It is the key verse for today. Book of Acts chapter 9, verse 31. So Messiah's community throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had shalom and was built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. It kept multiplying. Again, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, it kept multiplying. The word comfort in Greek means to comfort, to instruct, to encourage. One of the names of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is Parakletos. From Greek means comforter, advocate, intercessor. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Yeshua gives us a promise. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. In Greek, Parakletos, comforter, advocate, intercessor, so He may be with you forever. The secret of the growth, success, and security of the first Messianic community was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, a congregation of believers turns into a human structure built on projects and human desire. I believe the most important question we need to ask today is where the Holy Spirit leads us. What does He want to do among us? This question was the most relevant for the believers of the first centuries. And it was relevant in the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you read carefully, a similar question was asked by a servant of Abraham when he came to a foreign land for a bride for Isaac. But sadly, some people and some congregations have lost their shalom and are not walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Ruach HaKodesh. Why are we surprised at what is happening in the world today? Why it is surprising when the same thing happens in some places of worship today? Bible calls us priests. Believers are intercessors, those who lead the people to the Lord, who convey the vision and message from God to the rest of the people on the earth. Therefore, when the lives of God's children who are called to save and serve and proclaim God's will are occupied with projects and the arrangements of the material side of life, it is no surprise why politicians and the rest of the world think only about humanism and how to erase God from the history. Therefore, in order for changes to come to the world around us, the Holy Spirit must be welcomed to take His rightful place in the congregations as the very presence of the Lord on the earth today. The first Messianic congregation was able to shake the world without any programs, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Please remember the tremendous promise in the Bible. It is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 and verse 15. When my people, over whom my name is called, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And verse 15. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. This place today is the body of the Messiah, communities of believers throughout the face of the earth. So, based on the story of Isaac and Rebekah, let's see how the bride of the Messiah should look like in order for him to receive her. So, let's look at Rebekah's example today. First, she was obedient to Abraham's servant, the Holy Spirit. She was ready to leave everything, her family, her plans for the future, and go to the unknown land, to the promised land of faith and trust in God. And please consider that she didn't even have a picture of Isaac or even his Instagram at that time. There was also a fascinating example when the servant of Abraham presented beautiful gifts to Rebecca. The moment she accepted these gifts, she was ready to become Isaac's bride. I have a question. What do you think would have happened if Rebecca refused to accept the gift? She would not have become Isaac's bride. This brings me to the question. What can happen if somebody refuses to accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit? First, we need to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Then be baptized or immersed into the Holy Spirit and be constantly filled with Him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk of wine, for that is recklessness. Instead, be filled with the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. And it is also necessary to trust the Holy Spirit and trust His guidance in our lives. So let's look at the biblical meaning of the word believer. For most people, a believer is a follower of any kind of religious group, or a church member, or a parishioner, or a Christian. But the Hebrew word for faith is emunah, which also means complete trust to God. So in other words, in the biblical understanding of this word, a believer is the one who entrusted his life in the hands of the Lord, accepted His calling and will in his life, and continues to live in obedience to God. That is why Abraham is called the father of all believers. He is an example to follow and is the answer to the question of who is a believer. Abraham, he was the first one. A believer is a follower, a disciple of Yeshua, his servant. Now let's read an exciting story from the New Testament. Very important place from the scriptures. It's in Matthew 25, verse 1 through verse 13. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. When the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish ones took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise ones took oil and jars along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was taking a long time, they all got drowsy and started falling asleep. But in the middle of the night, there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. Now the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, since our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, there won't be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy some for yourselves." But while they were going off to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Now later, the other virgins came, saying, "Sir, sir, open up for us." But he replied, "Amen, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore stay alert, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The bridegroom is Yeshua, the Messiah, who will come for his bride, for us. It is about different kinds of believers. The 5 wise virgins are those who prepare themselves, stocked up with oil, the Holy Spirit, who build their relationship with the Holy Spirit, who trusted Him. and the five foolish are those who have wasted their lives on various concerns and did not care about their spiritual state. And the second thing, let's look at the character of Rebecca. She was humble and hard-working. Rebecca was ready to serve even a stranger and give a drink to even the camels. Imagine how much work this was, especially considering that a camel can drink up to 20 gallons of water. Can you imagine? In other words, she drew 200 gallons of water. It was 10 camels. This is exactly what the living congregation of the Messiah should be, full of faith and diligence, ready to serve the Lord. In James chapter 2, verse 17, so also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. The days are crafty and short. There is very little time left, and it will be very embarrassing to spend the rest of your life only in dreams and projects of the future without serving God today. When our Lord Yeshua brought the good news to this earth, the message was very simple and straightforward. There was no division into parishioners and professional priests, but each actively built his community, his own ark of salvation. Each of us is called to serve God with our strengths, talents, and gifts. In such a community, where all members serve God, the Holy Spirit at work. In such a congregation, they're in an atmosphere of expectation of God's miracle. As in the case of Abraham's servant, Rebecca's work was the answer to his prayer and caught his attention. So today, such a bride is attractive to the Holy Spirit. I want to bring up an example of our brothers who went to the Lord, Claude and Tom, to show their faithfulness to God. They were always ready to serve, to do more than was expected of them. They were the first when there was a need, and therefore, when they are not with us, we can feel their absence. But also, I want to say that each of us will appear before God in due time, and what an honor and joy it will be to leave this earth having brought fruit to the Lord. Also, what a disappointment and shame to appear before God empty-handed with only dreams of tomorrow. I believe that those among us will say, as Rebecca said, I will water the camels. And as Nehemiah said, I am ready to build a wall around Jerusalem. It is an excellent time to examine our lamps and see what is going on in our hearts. Have we lost our shalom? Have we grown tired? And are we walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh? And the third one, when Rebecca served and watered the camels, she could not even imagine that this would be her camels, and everything loaded on them would belong to her. In other words, she did not work for a reward, and she was not vain. She did not want to reign and rule. This shows her deep humility and inner decency and purity. The Holy Spirit seeks such a bride for Yeshua, the people who are not looking for honor and prosperity, and ready to work without reward for their master, the bridegroom. Luke chapter 17, verse 10. So you too, when you've done everything you are commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have done only what we were supposed to do. Some like to be visible, others silently work and build the body of the Messiah. All will receive a reward. Some on earth will receive praise from people, others will receive a praise in eternal life with the Lord. Dear friends, the Lord is close. Now is the time to prepare yourself. Fix your lamps. Find time to communicate with the Holy Spirit and serve Him. And I want to end with Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. This is the last place for today. The Ruach and the bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes freely take the water of life. Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. So let us pray together. Let us pray. Yivrechecha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.